Wednesday, August 31st, 2016, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we do get together every single Wednesday, and we kind of laugh at the world of sports. We also like to bring a little bit of insight and common sense to a sports world that desperately needs it. Doesn't always have that much common sense involved in it. You know, we've got listeners everywhere. I have heard from listeners in, Washington, D.C., New York, Georgia, Oklahoma, Texas, California. Of course, here in Colorado, where I am, I've heard from places like Connecticut, Arizona, Ohio, I think. I mean, we have heard even from places like Chile, Peru, Germany, Russia. We've heard from a number of different places. I'm sure I'm forgetting a few. If I'm forgetting you, please feel free to reach out and hit me up and let me know that I forgot you. I didn't mean to. Believe me, I didn't mean to. But if I forgot you, feel free to point and laugh at me. But you know, one of the best ways that we get new listeners to the show is by you telling a friend, you telling a coworker, or maybe a relative. I've told you, because we are a common sense show, we have smart listeners. The people that listen to the show actually kind of get it. They actually understand it. Now, if you want to recommend this show, just tell people. They can find it pretty much anywhere. You can go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, whatever. You can go to all the regular places that you go. Or you can head over to our site, dailydosesports.wordpress.com, where, by the way, I have to let you know, we have just released our SEC college football preview. That's right. The Southeastern Conference is up. You can check that out. And tomorrow, on Thursday, we will release our 2016 college football top 10. I've got the 10 teams that I think are going to be the teams to beat. You know, I've heard back from a few fans. Of course, we've been putting up our college football previews over on the site. I've heard from a few fans. I've heard from CSU fans. I've heard from University of Colorado fans. Not exactly thrilled with where I picked them. I heard from Florida State fans. How is Florida State going to complain? I picked you to win the ACC. What have you got to complain about? Of course, I heard from Clemson. Clemson's not thrilled. Not thrilled with where I put them. Nebraska fan was also not very happy with me. I would hear from Alabama fans based on the article that went up yesterday. I would hear from Alabama fans, well, if they could figure out how to read and write me something from them. First off, I got to get this out of the way. I'm playing a little bit hurt today. You might notice in my voice, it's a little lower. I almost completely lost my voice. So if it gets a little raspy today, sounds a little lower, if I start to sound like Peter Brady at all, you'll know why. Playing a little bit hurt. If I was on the new NFL report, I would probably be questionable for today. Because there's no more probable. I don't think I would be doubtful. I feel like I would be better than doubtful, but I would probably be questionable on that injury report. The voice is not in the best of form today. Also, if you would like to listen to the podcast, if you'd like to find the podcast, if you'd like to recommend the podcast, you can send people over to rogueintel.com and they can check out our podcast network, a number of great podcasts over there that you're going to get addicted to, you're going to want to listen to each and every single week. Now, today on the show, we have our 2016 college football preview. We are going to go through the major conferences, take a look at some major storylines, take a look at a few of the top teams who I think can come out of those conferences, maybe take a look at a few sleepers that could come up and surprise some people, take a look at some Heisman candidates, number of things we've got going in college football today. Plus, the NFL is all over the news lately, and we do have to discuss a few of the stories going on in the NFL, and as usual, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. Always topical, sometimes insightful, sometimes even entertaining. You never know which way the Daily Dose Top 5 is going to go. You always want to make sure that you stick around for that. I'll be honest, I don't even know where to start today. We are at that time of year where I've got too much information. I've got too much content to even get to everything. Where to start? We got the Denver Broncos quarterback situation, of course. That's something interesting going on. We could start with Colin Kaepernick. I know we probably want to talk about that. Talk about Tony Romo. Let's touch on Tony Romo. Let's get to Tony Romo. We'll get to him first. Dallas Cowboys quarterback Tony Romo broke a bone in his back last week while playing the Seattle Seahawks. I don't know if you saw the clip. If you didn't see the clip, Tony Romo gets folded in half. Never a good look for a quarterback, especially a guy with previous back problems. He gets folded in half like a lawn chair. Now, rookie Dak Prescott, and he has been playing well. Dak Prescott has been playing well. There was even talk that maybe Dak Prescott would challenge Tony Romo for the starting spot. Ridiculous, I know. But before the injury, they were saying, well, maybe Dak's the better guy. Yeah. Now, Romo's out, and the job is Prescott's. Without question, the job is Prescott's. Now, for some time, we don't really know how long Romo's going to be out, because in Dallas, it's different. Like, if there's an injury in most cities, say there's an injury to, Eli Manning. The New York Giants would come out and say, well, you know, doctors are saying it's 8 to 10 weeks. We're not really sure. There's an injury down in Miami, and they come out and they say Ryan Tannehill, he's out for 8 to 10 weeks. We'll see how it goes. But down in Dallas, you don't really get that. Down in Dallas, you get their crazy owner, Jerry Jones, and he comes out, and I don't know if he just makes it up. You'd be like, now, you know, in my experience with back injuries, what we usually have to these type of treatments, we have usually a good progress that we see. And with a leader like Tony, we know he's going to, I mean, shut up. You have no idea what you're even talking about. You're not a doctor. Why does Jerry Jones come out like he's the doctor? In my experience, shut up. We don't need to hear from you. I'm telling you, I've been saying this since I started the Daily Dose. Back, I don't know, like 3 years ago, I have been saying I am waiting for senile Jerry Jones at some point to come out for a game with a helmet on, no face mask, and just suit up as quarterback. It's coming. I gotta think it's coming. Has to come. But now, we've got a number of people. I'm listening to some of the mass media. Of course, you know, we talk about here on the Daily Dose. They don't always get it right. It seems like they always seem to struggle a little bit in getting some of the, you know, the big stories right. But I'm hearing some of the mass media, and they're talking about what Dak Prescott will do, what will the Cowboys do, how will they change things, how will they now look different with Dak Prescott in there as opposed to Tony Romo? What's going to be the big change? And a lot of them are like, well, I think they'll just probably hand the ball off more, but they really aren't going to change anything for Prescott. It'll be the same basic thing from Tony Romo to Dak Prescott. Wait a second. You just went 1-11 without Tony Romo. Can I understand, like, Tony Romo's an easy target? He's a Cowboys quarterback. He was dating Jessica Simpson. He always seems to come up with that horrible play at the worst possible time. But this is a quarterback that has over 34,000 yards. Tony Romo has thrown for nearly 250 touchdowns in his career. He's 78-49. In his career as a starter. You're just going to hand off some more? That's what you're going to do? It'll be the same. It'll be the same. We have a rookie quarterback that's never, you know, played a pro snap in his life, but nah, we'll just do the exact same thing. Will you? Is that how that's going to go? I got a feeling that's not exactly how that's going to go. Also, you have your head coach, Jason Garrett, who doesn't like to hand off. Don't forget that part of it. Remember Jason Garrett? He's an Ivy League guy. Every time we hear about Jason Garrett, oh, Ivy League coach, Jason Garrett. Yeah, we know you're Ivy League. You don't have to keep trying to prove to us how smart you are over and over and over again. He always goes out there. Remember when he had, you know, he had DeMarco Murray, he had the great defense, he had the great, big, huge, gigantic offensive line, and he just kept trying to throw it all over the place? He wouldn't run it then. What makes you think he's going to run it now? Oh, because he has a bad quarterback? He was trying to throw it last year with Matt Cassel. Now he's going to stop? You must be kidding. He's not stopping. He's still going to go out there and try to throw it all over the place. And here's the bad part about it. Here's the bad part about it if you're a Cowboys fan. If you're sitting there and you're saying, hey, Dak Prescott's going to come in, maybe he is going to throw it all over the place. I don't know, but we'll still be in it. Here's the bad thing. Your defense is horrible. You can't really afford to do that. You better hand off. Ivy League better get smart real quick. Stop disrespecting Tony Romo. And I'm as guilty as anyone. I make fun of Tony Romo as much as anyone because I know 2 minutes, game's on the line, he's probably going to throw the ball to the wrong team. But don't act like you can just bring in a rookie and, oh, yeah, it's going to be like Tony Romo was never there. You're kidding yourself. Tony Romo's a little bit better than that. I would be a little bit concerned, Cowboy fan, if I were you. I like Dak Prescott. I really do. I just don't know if they're going to be smart enough to let him do the things that is going to make him be the most successful. Let him be a handoff guy. Let him drop back, and do some rollout and use some of his abilities. But if you think you're just going to drop back and throw it all over the place like you tried to do with, you know, the Brandon Whedons and the Matt Castles of the world, you're going to have a rough season. You're going to have a rough season because that's not a very good defense. The Denver Broncos have named seventh-round draft pick Trevor Siemian, their starting quarterback for their opening regular season game, will be next Thursday at home against the Carolina Panthers. Now, there is talk that the Broncos could try to move quarterback Mark Sanchez. They're at least talking about that. You know, Mark Sanchez was brought in to see if he could stop making the big mistake. Here's the thing about Mark Sanchez. It isn't that he's untalented. He's thrown 86 touchdowns in his career, and he hasn't played, honestly, that much. The problem with Mark Sanchez is he's usually good for like 1 to maybe 10 bonehead decisions a game. And the problem is that usually those bonehead decisions, they're not just maybe he got sacked, maybe he did this, maybe he fumbled once. They're like crushing mistakes. I mean, the butt fumble, as bad as the butt fumble is, and it is bad, the worst part about it was that it was picked up and returned for a touchdown. That's the hard part about the butt fumble. That's the hard part about Mark Sanchez. He's got to come in and he had to have that mistake-free football they were looking for. And that, I think John Elway wanted to see, can we put him in this system, in this West Coast offense system? He's going to hand off. He's going to have some bootleg rollouts. Can he come in here, play mistake-free football, and be a safe quarterback? Unlike the situation with the Dallas Cowboys, the Denver Broncos have an excellent defense. You don't have to take shots down the field. Dallas is going to have to try to outscore people. Denver doesn't have to do that. They just have to let their defense win the game for them. But that hasn't been the case. Sanchez, he hasn't been horrible. I've watched all of the preseason games so far. It's not that he's been horrible, but he hasn't been mistake-free. He hasn't been the safe quarterback that I think they were hoping for. And so the reason they're going with a seventh-round pick, Trevor Siemian, is because Siemian has been the safe guy. Hey, I'll check down. I'll make the safe throw. If it's not there, I'll take the sack. I'll throw it away if I need to. He's the safest choice. Like I said, the key to this is that Denver has that nasty defense. They can run, they can punt, they can play field position, but they can't have that big turnover. That's why Trevor Siemian's in there. And I'll be honest with you, that's why Paxton Lynch is not in there. I've watched Paxton Lynch. I like him. I think he's got a big, big upside. He's not even close to being ready. If you think he's ready to be the starter day one, you haven't watched enough football. He's just not ready. He's playing against defenses that aren't changing, that aren't switching, that aren't giving him last-second reads to make. They're basically just playing vanilla. Hey, we're going, 4-3, 2-deep play. So just trying to get some playing time. And he's not exactly picking those guys apart. What's he going to do when the defenses actually come out and are changing things up and showing different things and stunting and blitzing and doing all those things? He's just not ready. I think he'll be okay in the future. At least it looks like he's got a bright future. But he's not the guy yet. So they're going to go with Trevor Siemian, the safe pick. Here's the thing. They just can't have the backbreaker. They can't have the big meathead play from Mark Sanchez. Remember that the Denver Broncos didn't get much production from the quarterback position last year. With Peyton Manning and Brock Osweiler, they got 19 touchdowns to 23 interceptions. Now, I don't expect the defense to be as good as it was last year. I'll be honest. But maybe the offense just doesn't turn it over as much. And then maybe you're at least in the thick of a playoff hunt and you're in it. I guess they feel Trevor Siemian's the guy that's going to play safe enough. You know, we are going to, next week on the Daily Dose, we are going to have our own NFL preview. We'll break down everything. We'll break down the Denver Broncos, their chances, as well as the rest of the NFL, and who the Daily Dose believes is going to represent their conferences in Super Bowl 51. I will be joined, in fact, next week by Larry and Centennial. We will be talking NFL preview. Should be a lot of fun. I might have something else for you. Try to let you know about that here in just a few minutes. Okay. I know you've thought about it. I know you've heard about it. You might even be sick of it. And if you are, I apologize in advance, but I will at least give you my input on the Colin Kaepernick story. Of course, The San Francisco 49ers backup quarterback made some news when he refused to stand for the national anthem prior to the Niners game against the Green Bay Packers on Friday night. Come to find out, he had done it for the two previous games, but no one had noticed, probably because we're just used to seeing Kaepernick sitting on the sideline during games. So they're just like, oh, he's just sitting there. And no one really mentioned it because he's always just sitting there during games. So they probably didn't mention anything. They probably didn't ask him anything. He was asked about it after the game on Friday night. And he said he was not going to stand because he is protesting the treatment of certain people and minorities in the United States.
I mean, ultimately, it's to bring awareness and make people, you know, realize what's really going on in this country. There are a lot of things that are going on that are unjust. People aren't being held accountable for. And that's something that needs to change. That's something that, you know, this country stands for freedom, liberty, justice for all. And it's not happening for all right now.
That clip comes to us from NFL.com. Okay. Now remember, a few weeks back we had one of our email shows, and I said that I liked when Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, when they stood up at the ESPYs and they said they were against violence, but that it wasn't necessarily a brave thing to do. Oh, this move is brave. I'll give you that. It is brave. I mean, when they said they were against violence, of course, everyone's against violence. Now, what he's saying, and he's kind of going out there and saying, you know, not standing for the national anthem is going to anger some people. Maybe his stand against some of the law enforcement in this country is going to anger some people. There are a number of people that feel slighted, or that he is slighting the military people that have served by not standing up. This is brave. I'll give him that. It might be misguided, but it's brave. I might not agree with it, but it's brave. He is putting himself in a very precarious position. A couple things that I want to talk about real quick about Colin Kaepernick in this whole situation. Now, one of the first things that I've heard is, well, he's rich. What's he complaining about? You've got to be poor? I mean, who's going to listen to him? He's got the platform. Or, you know, well, he's black and he was raised by white parents, so what's his problem? You have to be a certain race to say something's wrong? I don't understand exactly what the problem is there. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, you can see problems, I guess, in society, and you can point them out. It makes no difference how much money he has. Yes, life has been good to him. I don't know that he has come out and that Colin Kaepernick has said, I'm not going to stand because I have been so mistreated. I'm not going to stand because all this stuff is happening to me. I didn't hear him say that. I heard him say, I see some problems that I don't like, and until those are fixed, I guess, I'm not going to stand for that. You don't have to be a certain race or a certain monetary level. You don't have to have a certain amount in your bank account to be able to say something's wrong. Look, we have brave men and women who fight all over the world in our armed forces so that people like Colin Kaepernick or anyone else has the right to do what he feels is right in his mind. You don't have to agree with it. I have noticed one thing. I have noticed we are far more, we look at protests a lot more, like they're making a protest that we like it if it's something we agree with. When it's something we don't agree with, then we say, wait a second. He doesn't really have the right to get up there and do that. He's disrespecting everyone. Well, what if it's something that he really does believe in? Now, a couple thoughts that I have on it. First off, I hope he's put some thought into what it is that he's doing. I saw one of the interviews he was doing, and in the interview he's doing, he's standing up there and he's wearing a Castro t-shirt. Now, Fidel Castro wasn't exactly a bastion of human rights and civil liberties down in Cuba when he was at the height of his powers. So I don't want to hear you talking about how you're all about the human rights, but we know that Fidel Castro was locking people up just for speaking, just for freedom of speech. You didn't have that. That makes me cringe a little bit. I'll be honest. That makes me cringe a little bit when I hear him say that. When he's up there wearing that shirt, I'm not sure you get it. But hey, he's got a platform. He's decided to use it. That's his right. I hope he's put some thought into it because he's going to get grilled. He might get cut. He's in a weird situation. He's in a situation with San Francisco where they've barely played him. He wanted to get traded. I think they wanted to trade him. They haven't been able to get the price that they wanted for him. And remember, they're also in a situation now with Chip Kelly, where Chip Kelly's looking at this saying, everybody was just saying I'm a racist. Now what do? I got to cut this guy? I'm going to be the one that cuts this guy? So he's in a bad situation. He's put his team in a little bit of a difficult situation. Do you support him? Do you go, oh yeah, us too? Do you sit down too? And if you're the team, the NFL doesn't have specific rules. The NBA, you're required in the NBA rules. You are required to stand for the national anthem. In the NFL, they say they encourage it. They encourage you to stand, but it's not a rule that you have to stand. Now, maybe the San Francisco 49ers say, hey, look, this is not a part of us as a team. You're going to stay in the locker room until the anthem's over. Then we'll allow you to come out. And that's going to be your protest from now on. We'll see how they handle it. It's going to be very interesting to see. I just hope, for Colin Kaepernick's sake, like I said, that he's put some thought into this. He does have a platform. He is getting attention. But you're going to get grilled, and I hope he's not just pointing out problems. It's easy to point out problems. It's easy to say, I don't like that, and that's wrong, and we should fix that. I hope he's becoming part of a solution. Look, he saw something he didn't agree with. And I'll give him this. He made it a peaceful protest. We might not like it. You might not agree with it. You might sit there and say, what a jerk. He's disrespecting this or he's disrespecting that. And I understand that. But it was a peaceful protest. That's not in and of itself wrong. Okay, but now Colin Kaepernick, you have the spotlight. Make sure you're going somewhere with this. Because otherwise, next week, we'll forget all about it. If he gets cut and this goes away and he didn't have a plan and he didn't say, hey, here's what I'm doing in my community. Here's how I'm reaching out to the law enforcement in my community. I'm not just pointing out problems. I'm becoming part of the solution. Then I think people will say, okay. Remember, we've talked about, you know, the bravery of past athletes in sports before and some of them voicing their opinions. Someone like Muhammad Ali. It wasn't just that he pointed out, hey, I'm not going to Vietnam. I don't agree with that situation. He said, I don't agree with it, and here's why. And I'm willing to put up and take some of the punishment that comes down for it. He actually educated some people that were thinking, well, I don't know. Why would I go over to Vietnam? Like, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. We're going over to fight people that, honestly, we don't have any beef with them. Muhammad Ali started to educate. He started to make some progress. If Colin Kaepernick, and maybe, you know, Ali's passing is what inspired this, but if Colin Kaepernick is going to go somewhere with this, he better have a plan. Otherwise, we're going to forget all about it in another week or two. It'll be gone. We'll see. Again, it's his right. It's his platform. He's got a chance to do something with it. I hope he does something smart with it. I'm not impressed with the intelligence so far, but we'll see if he goes somewhere with it. I hope for his sake that he does. Hey, coming right back with our college football preview, plus our Daily Dose top five you do not want to miss. Stick around. We will be right back.
Yeah, every time I go to get new body armor or some more drones, I always go to Amazon. But I don't just go to any Amazon. I go to rogueintel.com/Amazon. So this way I can help out my favorite podcast with every purchase I make. And I know I purchase a lot. Get to the chopper now!
You like beer?
Beer!
You like rock and roll?
I'm allergic to penicillin.
Do you like drunk Australians?
Beer!
Do you like interviews with bands exploring facets of entertainers' lives best left to the imagination and possibly not presented on a radio show?
I don't know where this is going!
Jump on rogueintel.com/remedial.
What's up, guys? Be sure to check out Now That I'm Older on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network. Me and Kenny sit down and talk about how getting older sucks, but can be awesome at the exact same time. We also look at pop culture, review a few movies, share some personal stories, and just basically poke fun at the world around us. Be sure to check out Now That I'm Older on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network.
We have got to get to our college football preview. You know, this coming weekend is our first full weekend. Of course, we had the game last week. We had Cal and Hawaii play down in Australia or something because Hawaii hasn't traveled nearly enough, and they need to get in a few more travel miles. But you've got a full weekend of college football coming up. Starts actually on Friday. We've got some decent games on – well, it actually starts on Thursday. Not the great games on Thursday. But on Friday, you've got Colorado, Colorado State. Never mind. Withdraw that. You have Kansas State going to Stanford. Might be interesting. On Saturday, you've got number 3 Oklahoma versus number 15 Houston. Huge game there. Very, very interesting. You've got number 16 UCLA playing Texas A&M at Texas A&M. Also an interesting game. Number 5 LSU goes to Wisconsin. Should be a lot on the table there. Number 18 Georgia will play number 22 North Carolina. It's not like we have a small first weekend. Like the first weekend starts off huge. Number 20 Southern Cal against number 1 Alabama. We have some great, great games. Number 2 Clemson at unranked, but very, very dangerous Auburn. So we have some great games coming up this week, and we've got to get to our college football preview. One thing that I wanted to touch on real quick, there's nothing on TV quite yet until college football gets here. I have to give a recommendation. I was recommended a show on Netflix from Big Rob that listens to the show and a friend of the show. Big Rob said, hey, you got to go check out Last Chance U on Netflix. If you haven't seen Last Chance U, go get on Netflix and tune in. You'll plow through that real quick. Last Chance U follows a group of young guys that are trying to become stars in the college game and maybe hopefully in the NFL. It's based at East Mississippi Community College. And East Mississippi, they have got some players down there. Basically, you know, it's community college. So you've got guys that have Division I talent, but they haven't either applied themselves in school. They've gotten themselves in trouble. Maybe they had an issue off the field or whatever it might have been. They go to EMCC and play there. This is a school that has won 3 national championships in a row. These are not borderline kind of good players. These are phenomenal Division I football players. They're just, you know, wrong place, wrong time, and didn't take care of business in the classroom or whatever it may have been. And they end up down at Last Chance U, East Mississippi Community College. It is a very interesting show. I watched the whole thing. I watched all the episodes. In fact, I'm told that it is coming back for a second season. I'll tell you right now, the star of the show is the academic advisor. She's phenomenal. And how she deals with these kids that come in, and she's telling them, hey, you can't afford to miss another class. And she'll walk out of her office, and there's a kid just out there listening to his headphones, not going to class. It's amazing. But it is a very interesting story. There are some very actually touching moments. I know Daily Dose talking about touching moments, something you wouldn't normally hear. Very, very good show. I would encourage you, go check out Last Chance U. Very good program over on Netflix. You'll enjoy it. And especially with college football coming, you are going to like that quite a bit. Let's get to college football, because we've got some big storylines in the world of college football that are coming out. A number of things that you're going to want to keep in mind. And maybe you're not a huge college football fan. Maybe you're just kind of, yeah, you know, I'm an NFL guy or I'm an NFL girl. And I watch the NFL, but I kind of like to keep up with what's going on in the world of college football. I at least want to have an idea. Maybe you're a college football junkie. Maybe this is where it's at. Here's some major storylines that are going to take place this year in college football. The biggest question I think we have going into the season is, can Alabama do it again? Remember, Nick Saban is going for his sixth national championship. Now, he has an entirely new backfield. He's got a new quarterback. He's got new running backs. He had some studs. Does it matter? It seems like Nick Saban can just plug in guys, and they don't even miss a beat. But can Alabama do it again? That's going to be very, very interesting. They just won it last year. Can they do it again with an all-new crew, especially in the offensive backfield? I know they're loaded. I know they're loaded. Can they do it again? You know, one storyline is second-year coaches. Last year, we had a number of hirings, and I know every year, especially in college athletics, we have a number of coaches get fired, move on, get hired, you know, change around, switch teams, whatever it might be. But I want you to keep in mind this season in college football, some of the second-year coaches, they got hired last year. Maybe they had success. Maybe they didn't. How are they going to do this year in their second year? Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. First year, showed some promise. Got a long ways to go. Mike Riley at Nebraska. Another guy, Not sure how he's going to do at Nebraska. Seems like a little bit of a different fit for Nebraska, but we'll see how he does. Jim McElwain down at Florida started off so good, faded late. Paul Chryst at Wisconsin. A couple of these coaches, we're going to see how they do. First year, it's still the honeymoon. Now we get to see just how much things are going to change in their second year. You've had a full year to get everything in that you want. How different do you look? Keep an eye on those second-year coaches. We've got the return of some major talent in college football this year. You want quarterbacks? We've got some big-time quarterbacks. Clemson's got Deshaun Watson. Oklahoma's got Baker Mayfield. Ole Miss has Chad Kelly. UCLA has Josh Rosen. We've got some quarterback battles. In fact, where some teams, they've got two quarterbacks. I know what they always say. If you have two quarterbacks, you really don't have any. But some of these teams have two quarterbacks. What does Notre Dame do with Deshaun Kizer and Malik Zaire? And, you know, when you pick a quarterback, we've talked about this in the past here on the Daily Dose. When you pick a quarterback, it can't just be, well, we're going to pick a guy that he threw the most touchdowns in practice. He threw the most touchdowns in the scrimmage. That's not what it's about. How does it affect my locker room? How does his leadership transcend this locker room? How does it change the team? Do we look better as a team when he's on the field as opposed to when he's not? Sometimes it's not the most talented guy. So when you pick a quarterback, a lot more goes into it than just stats or just numbers or just who's more talented. You got to find the right fit. Michigan, you know, we talked about Jim Harbaugh. Michigan's got to find a quarterback. They think they might have the guy. They're not sure. Of course, Alabama's got to get a quarterback. Baylor has some decisions to make, possibly. Stanford is bringing in a new quarterback. They lost Kevin Hogan. They've got to get somebody else new. A lot of quarterback situations changing. Got some talented ones back. Also have some quarterback battles going to be taking place this season. Want to see some big-time running backs? Return of some major talent. We've got some major running backs this year. I know we've kind of lost the running back in the NFL. Doesn't seem like an NFL running back. Yeah, they're a dime a dozen. Just go plug someone in. He'll get 1,000 yards. Who cares? We have some big-time running backs in college football this year. LSU, of course, has Leonard Fournette. Stanford has Christian McCaffrey, who, in my opinion, probably should have won the Heisman a year ago. Florida State has Dalvin Cook, excellent running back. University of Georgia has Nick Chubb, who was lost because of an injury last year. He will be back, and he is a very dangerous runner. Someone like Oregon has Royce Freeman, a number of good running backs out this year. Sometimes, like last year, Christian McCaffrey, I thought, was the Heisman guy. I thought he should have won the Heisman. I thought he looked like the best player in the country. The award was given to Alabama's Derrick Henry. I understand it. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I understand it. This year, we've got a ton of Heisman candidates. I don't have any idea who's going to be the Heisman winner this year. You've got, again, Clemson with Deshaun Watson. He looks like he should be the leader. Quarterback took his team all the way to the national championship game, got outscored at the very end by Alabama, but Deshaun Watson looks like he should be the guy. Again, Christian McCaffrey is back at Stanford. You know, when they talk to Stanford and they say, what are you going to do this year? They say, we're going to give him the ball more. Well, he got the ball quite a bit last year once they figured out how to use him. Florida State, of course, has Dalvin Cook. Oregon has Royce Freeman. Ohio State now has JT Barrett back at quarterback. He could be out there for Heisman. LSU, of course, with Leonard Fournette. Georgia, Nick Chubb. UCLA, sophomore Josh Rosen is a very, very good quarterback. What about someone like Tennessee with Josh Dobbs? And we always know when it comes to the Heisman, it seems like someone just comes out of nowhere that we weren't even expecting. Like we had no idea this player was going to come to the forefront and just all of a sudden be right in the thick of the Heisman race. But it happens all the time. Think back to Charles Woodson in 97. Everybody had already, I mean, they were engraving Peyton Manning's name in that trophy. Charles Woodson came out of nowhere. Or like 1990, hey, it's going to be Rocket Ismail, it's going to be Rocket Ismail. Ty Detmer wins the Heisman instead. And even just a few years ago, when Johnny Manziel won it, what was it, 2012, I think? I mean, everyone was talking about the Matt Barkleys, Taj Boyd out of Clemson, Braxton Miller at Ohio State. Here comes Johnny Manziel. It happens every year, it seems like. We get someone just completely out of nowhere that we didn't see coming, puts themselves in that Heisman race. The Heisman Award this year will be very interesting to watch. Okay, enough about the individuals. Let's take a look at some of the top teams in each conference. And I'm not going to go through every single team. We just don't have the time. But we'll get to the top teams. I'll give you a couple of top teams, and I'll give you a couple teams that might slip through and contend as well. In the Atlantic Coast Conference, the ACC, look, I know Clemson is getting all the attention, and I understand it. That offense is loaded. Deshaun Watson is going to have a ton of weapons. Here's my worry for Clemson, and this is why I'm a little bit concerned about Deshaun Watson and Clemson this year. For one, everybody's looking at them. All the expectations, let's be honest, when was the last time Clemson had any expectations whatsoever? That doesn't really happen. But I just worry that at some point, that offense is going to have an off night, or you're going to have bad weather. Remember last year when they played Notre Dame? They have that bad weather game, and your offense just can't quite get on track because of that. And that defense lost a lot of people to the NFL. Defense was loaded last year. It's just, it's hard for me to think Clemson can put back-to-back seasons together like they did a year ago. So Clemson's the big dog. I know Clemson's the big dog. I have my own personal concerns with the Clemson Tigers. My pick in the ACC actually would be Florida State. Florida State has a loaded defense. Dalvin Cook is a dangerous runner. I know there's some questions at quarterback. Redshirt freshman DeAndre Francois is going to get the start. He is going to be named the starter. But honestly, what does he have to do? Just hand it off. Don't screw up. We talked about that with the Broncos earlier. Just don't screw up and have a bunch of turnovers. You'll be fine. You've got a loaded defense on the other side of the ball. Florida State would actually be my pick in the ACC. They will be very, very, very tough. You know, they did lose their kicker, Robert Aguayo, who is, remember, he was taken way too early by Tampa, and now he's down there in Tampa missing field goals right and left. But Florida State, they're going to miss him, and you would hope that if they do have a kick come down to the finish or a game come down to the finish, that their kicker will be able to step up. Otherwise, we're right back to 90s Florida State. I actually like Miami a little bit. I don't think they're a contender. They'll be better. They'll be improved under new head coach Mark Richt. Remember, he got fired from the University of Georgia. He knows talent when he sees it. He can coach some guys. They just won't have the depth because he hasn't been there long enough. He'll get them there. I think Mark Richt will be very, very solid down at Miami. But they'll be dangerous on any given game. Any game in the ACC, Miami has a chance to be in it. I like Louisville a little bit. Bobby Petrino might be a little bit crazy, but he can flat out coach. And that Louisville Cardinal defense might be one of the fastest defenses in the country. If they can get quarterback Lamar Jackson to just generate some offense and, again, not have those fluky turnovers, Louisville's going to be tough. They could be a pain in the ACC. Keep an eye on them. They could maybe slip through, knock somebody off. Give you a couple dark horses. I like Pitt a little bit. He's done a nice job out there. I like Georgia Tech. You know, Georgia Tech was horrible last year. Ton of injuries. About everything that could have gone wrong with Georgia Tech did. But they run that little option. You have to prepare specifically for them. Keep an eye on Georgia Tech this year. They actually might come up and surprise a few people. Let's move over to the Big Ten. Once again in the Big Ten, Ohio State is the favorite. JT Barrett is back at quarterback. But the Ohio State Buckeyes lost 12 players to the NFL. I know Urban Meyer gets recruits. He gets a ton of recruits. But you've got to feel 12 players going to the NFL, don't you? That would make me a little bit concerned if I'm Ohio State. I think they'll be very, very good. I think they'll be right in the thick of it. I don't know if Jim Harbaugh at Michigan has the horses to win it all, but I do think Michigan has a ton of talent, and we know that Harbaugh will make that team tough. Remember what he did at Stanford. Remember what he did on the farm when everyone was saying, well, you can't win at Stanford. It's all the nerds. You can't do it. And in his second and third years, he was putting together some phenomenal seasons, so keep an eye on Michigan. We actually might have an interesting Michigan-Ohio State game this year. We didn't last year, but we might get one this year. We'll see. I like Michigan a little. Iowa should be solid again. Of course, they'll have the chance to prove that last year's 12-2 season wasn't a fluke. The thing about Iowa that helps them, they've got a ton of players back, and they play over on that other side, over on the West. I'll give you a couple of dark horses I like in the Big Ten. I don't know if I should do this. I'm going to go with Nebraska. Only because last year, didn't it seem like Nebraska just found like new inventive ways to lose games? They can't lose that many games this year, can they? I mean, if just a couple of those had just gone the other way, they had a pretty successful season. And instead, they just found ways to lose. And again, they are over in the West where they won't get beat up quite as badly. I guess Nebraska would be my dark horse pick in the Big Ten. Moving over to the Big 12. Not as good as last year. Still got some talented teams in the Big 12, but not quite as good as last year. Oklahoma is the big favorite, and they should be. Baker Mayfield won the job last season, took the Sooners to the playoffs. You know, he can do a little bit of everything. He is a dangerous, dangerous player. Looks to go downfield a lot, can hurt you a little bit with his legs. Running back Samaje Perine, you know, he is very, very dangerous. Not only can he hurt you just running, getting between the tackles, he can get to the edge, he can catch the ball out of the backfield, number of ways that he can hurt you. I like Oklahoma a lot this year. Keep an eye on Oklahoma State. You know, the Cowboys return almost their entire offense, and this was an offense that was putting up almost 50 points a game a year ago. Who cares about defense? It's the Big 12. Don't worry about their defense. Not an issue. It's Big 12 football. I'll give you a dark horse. I'll give you a couple dark horses, actually, that I like in the Big 12. I probably shouldn't do this, but I'm going with West Virginia. If they can get past Missouri in the opener, and they can get past BYU on September 24th, West Virginia has some offensive pieces in place. They can make a little bit of a run, and they'll have a little bit of a softer schedule after those two big games. And Missouri's a little bit down this year. They've got a chance. Maybe West Virginia could sneak through. And yes, I'm going to throw Texas in there. Here is something to think about. What if, just what if, remember we talked last week and Notre Dame had, like, I don't know, 37 kids get arrested that weekend? Like the most arrested kids ever in a weekend. Notre Dame had all those arrests. What if Notre Dame stumbles in the opener against Texas? What if Texas gets that first win? Do you have any idea what that would do to the psyche of that Texas team? Bunch of young, talented players that really, they're going out when you're that age. You're going out and you're just trying to get a feel. Are we good? I think we're good. But are we good? You get a win like that, it might solidify everything that Charlie Strong is doing down at Texas. He's got some people there. If he can get them to buy in a little bit, and a win at Notre Dame or against Notre Dame in that opener would go a long, long ways for Texas. If that happens, look out. Now, if not, there'll be a dangerous team just as the season goes on because they do have some young talent. But if they get that win against Notre Dame, Texas might do some things this year. Keep an eye on them. Speaking of Notre Dame, I still do like Notre Dame a little bit, despite the fact they lost a lot of talent and despite the fact that they lost a number of players last week getting arrested. I still like Notre Dame. Here's the thing about Notre Dame. You never know how that schedule will look in November. Like right now, we look at it and we say, well, it looks manageable. It looks like it'll be strong, but it'll be manageable if they can get by a few of those tough games, if they can get by a Texas and not stumble, they can get, but you just never know how it's going to shape up in the end. We don't know how Southern Cal's going to be. We don't know how some of these teams are going to be by the end of the year. So I like Notre Dame. I think they have a decent squad. I think they should be at least in the hunt. They're a step down from last year, but they don't have to be as good as they had to be last year. Schedule's just a little bit more manageable. I like them a little. Other small conference team, I'll give you one other small conference team that I do really like, and that is the team I talked about earlier, a big game against Oklahoma this coming weekend. I really like the Houston Cougars out of the AAC. If you haven't seen quarterback Greg Ward Jr., he might not be quite the passer that they always tell us. Like, they always try to build it. He's a much better passer than you think. No, he's not. He's a solid passer. He can at least hit an open guy if he's down the field. But he is dangerous. If they somehow pull the upset against Oklahoma on Saturday, they can go a little while without a big test. Because then they've got AAC teams. They'll have a test against Navy. And I think they play Louisville down the stretch very, very late. Other than that, they've got a bunch of winnable games on their schedule. Keep an eye on Houston. That Houston-Oklahoma game will be interesting. No, I don't think Houston can win it. Well, I don't think, right? There's no way they can beat Oklahoma. Right? I mean, it's down in Houston. We'll see how they do. Let's switch over to the Mountain West Conference. I know. The Mountain West is not a premier conference. Best team in the conference gets to go to like the Sun Bowl or the New Mexico Bowl or something. But there are a couple of teams at least to kind of watch in the Mountain West. First team I'm going to give you This is a team that if they just could put things together a little bit, they might actually sneak in at least to a tiny bit of a national conversation. I don't think it'll happen, but San Diego State returns 13 starters from a team last year that went 11-3. Now they have Cal in week two. If they somehow beat Cal, again, they've got a pretty manageable schedule the rest of the way. Could they somehow get their way into the conversation? Could they play and you know, beat enough teams that anyone would give them any kind of respect going down late? Keep an eye on San Diego State. Boise State is another team. You know, they struggled a little bit last season. Well, they struggled a little bit for their standard. They weren't quite as good as they usually are. But quarterback Brett Rippon, he's just a sophomore, and they can score. Keep an eye on Boise State. I'm going to give you one dark horse. I shouldn't even give you this. Honestly, I shouldn't even say this dark horse candidate. I'm going to give you one team to watch in the Mountain West. And when I say it, you're going to say, man, get out of here. Get out of here. San Jose State. No, I'm not saying San Jose State can do anything. I just want to say this. They can at least challenge in the Mountain West, but you should really check out their quarterback, Kenny Potter. Dude looks like Coy Detmer or something. Like he's 140 pounds dripping wet. That kid can flat sling it around the field. Keep an eye on him. He's pretty fun to watch. If you're just flipping through the channels one Saturday and you happen to see San Jose State, at least pause and take a look at Kenny Potter. Dude can throw it. Air Force, I guess, is always scrappy. Colorado State under Mike Bobo, they're getting better. I'll give you a team to keep an eye on, probably not this season, but maybe next season or the season after that. Wyoming. The Wyoming Cowboys have coach Craig Bohl. Now, you might not recognize that name, but you will recognize one of his players. He was up at North Dakota State, and he was actually the guy that recruited and coached Carson Wentz up at North Dakota State. He is now the head coach at Wyoming. Probably not this year. He just doesn't have the people. But keep an eye on Wyoming. Again, it's relative. Wyoming being good for Wyoming. I'm not saying Wyoming. Keep an eye on Wyoming to be up there with the Oklahomas and the Alabama. I'm not saying that. Wyoming could be good considering it's Wyoming. You see what I'm saying? Move over to the Pac-12. Probably the second best conference in the country. Of course, the problem with being one of the best conferences, and when you're talking top to bottom, one of the best conferences in the country, is that every single week you legitimately have a chance to lose. You don't have very many gimmies. And that's kind of what the Pac-12 has become. They're kind of like the SEC in that you don't really get too many weeks off. You might have one week that's a little bit lighter than some. You get to play the Colorado. You get to play maybe the Oregon State. But you've got a bunch of tough games on that schedule. Going to make your life tougher when you're one of the best conferences. Have to like Stanford, of course. Christian McCaffrey, we talked about him. You know, it took David Shaw a few games for Stanford to kind of figure out how to use Christian McCaffrey. They're like, well, we don't know if he's a running back or if he's a wide receiver, exactly what he is. Is he just a punt return guy? We're not really sure. And then they figured out how to use him, and they were just like, you know what? Just give him the ball. Just give him the ball as often as you can and get out of his way because he will find a way to get yards. He set the NCAA record a year ago for most yards from scrimmage. That was a record that had stood for 30 years. He broke a 30-year record that had been held by Barry Sanders. You know, Shaw's saying he's going to give him the ball more this year, saying they're going to feed him more. I hope the kid can stay healthy. I think he's stronger than he looks. Of course, he's white, so we look at him and go, he's probably not that strong. And maybe he's not that fast. Yeah, he's stronger and faster than you think he is. Shaw does have to find a new quarterback to replace Kevin Hogan. But, you know, the good thing about Stanford is that he's very good at developing his offensive line. And because of that, it's a little bit easier for a quarterback to come in because you're not going to just get bum rushed when you take the snap. That will help a little bit. The thing for Stanford, I think this year, they've got to get off to a better start. Last couple seasons, they've dropped their opening game. And that really, really does hurt. Later you go, well, yeah, but what about that one game? What was it last year? Last year they lost to Northwestern to open the season. Just kind of puts that blemish on your record right away that you just don't want. They need to have a better start. Southern Cal is getting back to form after they got all those NCAA sanctions kind of behind them. Now they're starting to develop a little bit more depth. They're starting to get the talent that we're used to seeing at Southern Cal. They should at least contend this year with new head coach Clay Helton. Now at least they don't have to worry quite as much about, you know, him going on a bender the night before a game like they, you know, had to worry about in the past. They should be right in the thick of it, but they have that opener against Alabama going to be a tough game in week one. UCLA, I really like the Bruins this year. Quarterback Josh Rosen, Chosen Rosen is special. This guy looks like, I'm not going to say he's like a once in a lifetime talent. I don't think he's quite that, but he's at least once in a decade kind of talent. Josh Rosen is a very, very good quarterback, and he is the type of quarterback that can carry a team that might not be quite as talented. He can make them look a lot better. They have a few pieces to replace, but if that offensive line comes together, look out, because Rosen is a very, very good player. I'll give you a couple of dark horses in the Pac-12. I like Washington, and I don't know if I should even make them a dark horse, but they're, I guess I'd just put them maybe like a tier below the USC's, the Stanford's, and UCLA's. Washington is loaded. Quarterback Jake Browning, very, very good. He threw for almost 3,000 yards as a freshman. The defense is stacked. They return almost everyone. Chris Peterson, remember Chris Peterson? He was the guy up at Boise State. He had Boise State contending, had Boise State beating Oklahoma in bowl games. Chris Peterson, now he's over at Washington. He's doing some big, big things. Keep an eye on the Huskies this year. They may sneak through and win the whole thing. Mike Leach. Mike Leach is finding ways to win at Washington State. I didn't even think that was possible. I had no idea. Mike Leach has won at Texas Tech, and he's won at Washington State. Who has done that? Who has put together winning seasons at those two places? Doesn't happen. Mike Leach is a pretty good coach. He's nuts. He might lock you in a shed if he doesn't agree with what you're saying. But Mike Leach is a pretty good coach. Keep an eye on Washington State. And, of course, Kyle Whittingham at Utah. Remember when the Pac-12 absorbed a few teams? They picked up Colorado. They picked up Utah. And we were like, I don't know if Utah really. No, Utah's football program, they are legit. Kyle Whittingham knows how to coach. Utah will be a pain this year. It seems like they keep getting better. And I don't know if we thought that was going to be the case when that started. But Utah keeps getting better. And then Colorado, Colorado's going to suck again. That goes without saying. But, I'm based here in Colorado, so I thought I would give at least a little bit of a Colorado preview. In the Pac-12 this year, Colorado will not be very good. Like, I listed some contenders, some next, you know, that next kind of tier, the Washingtons, like a dark horse in, like, Utah. And then Colorado will be one of the worst teams, probably the worst team in the Pac-12. I just wanted to throw that out there again. Feels like I do this every single year. Once again, Colorado will be awful. Enjoy. Let's move on to the Southeastern Conference, the big boy, the SEC. Tons of NFL talent every single year. Tons of athletes. Tons of arrests. Yeah, just kind of how it goes. It is NFL prep down in the SEC. Alabama, of course, is the big dog. You know, I know Nick Saban has to get another quarterback. Like we talked about earlier, it doesn't even matter. I mean, all Alabama does every year is crush you with their front seven. So who cares who's even playing quarterback? But here is one thing I want you to keep in mind with Alabama. AP number ones, preseason number ones, have not done that well. They haven't done that well. Usually an AP preseason number one does get beat. They just did it and ran the table last year. Can they do it again? I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think so. Statistically, it just doesn't make much sense. But it is Alabama, and it is Nick Saban. And he did make a deal with the devil and sell his soul or something. I don't know what he did. But Alabama is loaded again. LSU. LSU has Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette, or think back to last year, Leonard Fournette had that Heisman wrapped up by Halloween. I mean, the Heisman was done. Unfortunately, he struggled through the month of November, and he didn't even get an invite to the Heisman ceremony. But, you know, LSU has a ton of talent on both sides of the ball. Can quarterback Brandon Harris step up? It always seems like LSU, they just struggle to get a quarterback that is just even decent. If they just did that, think of the championship they've won. LSU is loaded every year. They have so much talent. I'm going to give you a team that just might come out and win everything. And I can't believe I'm going to say this, but Butch Jones has been working for 3 years, and the Tennessee Volunteers are loaded. They've got Josh Dobbs, quarterback. He's not going to win a beauty pageant, but he is very, very talented. Jalen Hurd, very dangerous out of the backfield. Can hurt you a lot of different ways. Defense is going to just get better. Tennessee is a team, they could contend. I know, I can't believe I'm saying it either. Tennessee Volunteers could contend. A couple dark horses out of the SEC. Auburn, of course, they were so overrated last year, but they could be a little bit under the radar this year, and they are talented again. Georgia, can Kirby Smart, new head coach, you know, he was the coordinator down at Alabama. Can Kirby Smart put together a good enough defense to stay with that Georgia offense, which should be pretty solid? And Florida, we'll see how Jim McElwain does. You know, he started strong last year at Florida, won 10 of his first 11, and then lost the next three games by a combined score of 24-97. Now, I'm not sure if you know this, but Florida is actually going to have at quarterback, son of Raiders head coach Jack Del Rio, Luke, will be starting at quarterback. Might be interesting to see. You know, when you think back about Florida and the quarterbacks they've had and kind of the run that they went on for a few years there where they were just, you had the fun and gun and you had, of course, Tim Tebow and you just had good quarterbacks. They haven't had a good quarterback since Tim Tebow. And I don't mean they haven't had a good one. I mean, they haven't even had an average one. They've had a bad quarterback since Tebow. So we'll see if Jack Del Rio's kid, Luke, is going to be able to step up. Luke Del Rio will be getting the start that opening week for the Florida Gators. Should be interesting. So there are your major conferences, and I know, we sped through the major conferences. Only have so much time. Wanted to at least hit the major conferences and get you a few of the teams that I think have a chance. If I had to pick a Final Four, why am I doing this? Honestly, I don't know why I do this to myself. I don't know why. Why do I put myself out there and say I'm going to try to pick a Final Four? I'm going to pick a Final Four. Here's my Final Four. Don't like doing this, putting myself out there. Because here's what's going to happen. Here's the problem that I have is I'm going to get like zero teams right. And I'm going to hear from John and I'm going to hear from Rob and I'm going to hear from a bunch of you guys. And you're going to be saying, oh, you missed all these. All right. I'm going to put it out there, though. Here are my picks for the Final Four for the playoff. Here are my picks. It is August 31st. I'm making my pick now. What's going to happen out in December? Here are my picks. I am going to go with Oklahoma. I'm going to go with Florida State. I'm going to go with Stanford. And I'm going to go with the Tennessee Volunteers. There is my Final Four. I know. Not sure how that is going to go. Hey, we've got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5 as we do every single week. We do our Daily Dose Top 5. Never know exactly which direction the Daily Dose Top 5 is going to go. And I'm going to be honest. I had a different Daily Dose Top 5 lined up for today. I was going to go in a different direction. And then some news came down that I changed it at the last minute. I was like, I gotta change and kind of tweak this Daily Dose Top 5. You know, one of the cool things about college football, and it's funny. I was talking to a friend a while back, and he said, you know, one of the things I don't like about college football is you have guys like a Tim Tebow or like a Pat White or like an Eric Crouch. You have guys like that. They can be successful in college football. And I said, you don't get it. That's what makes college football great, is the fact that you could have a guy like that have success. That Turner Gill might not have success in the NFL, but he can at the college level. And that is what makes college football to me so exciting. Because you can have those guys, hey, they're not going to be a Sunday quarterback, but oh, they are breathtaking on Saturdays. They are so much fun to watch on Saturdays. So today, our Daily Dose Top 5, we are going to count down the top 5 triple option college quarterbacks of all time. Now, I'm going to be honest. This is what I've seen. I didn't go back and watch, you know, old 35 millimeter film. This is what I've seen. These are the guys that I watched, that I looked at and said, hey, those guys could flat play. And I'll put in another caveat. I'm not including the spread option guys. I'm not including the Tim Tebows. I'm not including the Marcus Mariotas. I'm not including that type of spread option guy. I'm talking about the triple option guy. The guy that went in, lined up under center, pulled it, faked it to the fullback, maybe gave it to him, maybe pulled it, was a magician with the ball, took it out to the outside. He had his pitch man. He either kept it and ran up the alley or he pitched it out and made the correct play. Maybe he even dropped back and made the correct pass. I'm talking about those guys because those guys had no prayer of playing in the NFL, at least at quarterback, but they were entertaining. Number 5 on our list of the greatest triple option quarterbacks. Number 5, and this was the reason that I did it. Not sure if you saw this. Former Air Force quarterback Dee Dallas passed away on Tuesday. Georgia police confirmed that Dee Dallas, he was 48 years old, was killed in a two-car accident. He lived in South Carolina. Very, very sad story. Dee Dallas was, without question, one of the greatest triple option quarterbacks that I have ever seen. You know, he was a four-year player at Air Force. Of course, Air Force is in Colorado Springs. The Air Force Academy is. And so I got to see Dee Dallas play a lot when I was a kid. He played from 86 to 89. You know, he set the record for career rushing yards by a quarterback. And that record in 1989, it stood until 2001. He was so slick with the ball, though. And it was funny. If you watch any of the clips of him, most of the option quarterbacks, they keep it in tight. They keep it up near their chest. He had the ball just out like a loaf of bread. It was, but he rarely fumbled. But that was the thing I remember about Dee Dallas. He always just carried the ball in one hand. He just ran with it. He just sprinted with it, swinging loosely out by him. We'll miss Dee Dallas. Phenomenal, phenomenal quarterback. Good guy. Had gone back and coached just a little bit and done some things. But Dee Dallas, excellent, excellent triple option quarterback. He is number five on our list. You know, he ran and passed for 1,000 yards in the same season two times, not once. Two times. Dee Dallas is number five on our list. He's actually the reason that I made the list. Phenomenal quarterback. Number four on our list. Gotta be Oklahoma quarterback Jamel Holloway. You know, after Troy Aikman left, Jamel Holloway came on in 1985. He was just so slippery. He battled injuries throughout his career, but he took Oklahoma to an 11-1 record. They won the 85 national championship. Jamel Holloway couldn't pass. And a lot of these guys on this list, they weren't great passers, but they were so dangerous with the football. You didn't know where it was going. You didn't know where it was going to be. And in his career, in 4 years, Jamel Holloway lost six times at Oklahoma. Six games he lost in four seasons. Pretty amazing. Had a tryout with the Los Angeles Raiders. Didn't make it, but Jamel Holloway, one of the funnest option quarterbacks I have ever seen. Number three, I got to give a nod to the recent teams. I've got to give a nod to a team like Navy, who always seems to do it every year, and their guy last year, Keenan Reynolds. You know, Keenan Reynolds, Navy runs the option as well as anybody in the country, and they run it as good as anyone ever has. Keenan Reynolds holds all the records. He was at Navy from 2012 to 2015. Keenan Reynolds has the most career touchdowns in a career and the most career rushing yards as a quarterback, 88 career touchdowns as a quarterback. Over 4,500 rushing yards as a quarterback. Keenan Reynolds definitely belongs on this list. He is number three. Number two on the list. I told you before, I'm a little bit of a Colorado college football skeptic. So when the Colorado Buffaloes got this kid from South Central Los Angeles back in 1989, I believe it was, and he was going to take over for Salinesi. Back in Colorado at that time, Colorado had kind of gotten going a little bit under Salinesi. They at least were respectable. They weren't good, but they were respectable. They had won a couple games, and they were at least competing a little bit. And then Salinesi got sick, and they brought in this young kid from South Central LA. Darian Hagan came to Colorado, and on one of his first snaps, I'm watching. I'm going, yeah, right. How good is this kid going to be? He takes it 80 yards versus Texas. He did the little fake pitch to the option man, tucked it, crossed the entire field, and went for 80 yards against Texas. And I said, whoa, this is a different player than I've seen at the University of Colorado before. And of course, they surrounded him with a ton of talent on the defensive side, on the offensive side. Darian Hagan was so quick, so deceptive, won a national championship. Yes, I know they had that weird split thing with Georgia Tech, but he was just so quick and deceptive. He could pitch the ball from anywhere on the field. Didn't matter if he was being tackled. Didn't matter if he was 40 yards down the field. Darian Hagan was just a magician with the ball. One of the funnest option quarterbacks I have ever watched in my life. Darian Hagan, the University of Colorado, our number one triple option quarterback on our Daily Dose Top 5 today. He's the best I've seen. He's the best I've seen. Because this guy, he didn't just bring quickness. I talked about Darian Hagan, Dee Dallas, Jamel Holloway, Keenan Reynolds. All these guys were super quick, really, really quick. I don't know if they were great 40 guys. I don't know if they were, but they could explode for 5-6 yards and just get through a gap. This guy could do that, and he also had blazing speed. Took his team to 3 national championship games in a row, 3 straight top 5 finishes, two straight national championships, and two straight undefeated seasons. Tommy Frazier at Nebraska, he was so strong. He was so fast. He could throw a little. He could throw a little. Enough that he was dangerous enough that you couldn't just cheat up on it. So dangerous on every single play. Could Tommy Frazier play in the NFL? No. No. But that's kind of why we love college football. That's kind of what makes college football so exciting. It's guys that you might never see again, but they're so good at that level. Hey, I'm going to post a link to some videos of all five of these quarterbacks on the website. If you go over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com, I'll put up a video for each one of these quarterbacks. I'm telling you, you'll be blown away. Some amazing, amazing memories for some of these guys. Pretty fun to watch. Hey, next week, I told you, we will have our NFL preview. I will be joined by Larry and Centennial. We will break down the NFL and give you an idea of the teams to watch. And I'm telling you right now, I probably shouldn't say anything. I might have a major big name guest join me on that day. I'm trying to put everything together. I'm seeing if I can get everything together. If everything falls right, we might have a major, I'm telling you, it's a big name guest that may join us on the Daily Dose. Just trying to put the finishing touches on that. Plus, of course, we will have some breaking news and our Daily Dose top five next week. You never want to miss that. If you get a chance, head over to wherever it is that you download or listen to the show. Give us a quick five-star rating and a review. We would appreciate that so much. Feel free to follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Daily Dose Sports. Check out the website for college football previews, NFL previews, and like I said, I will put up video clips of each of the five quarterbacks from today's Daily Dose Top 5. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week. Enjoy the first weekend of college football.